Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 255 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I am quite excited to bring you this interview with Ernest Cervantes from the Burt Bean Company in Seguin, Texas. Recently opened restaurant just at the end of October, early November. Ernest has been in the barbecue world. He's the Pope of Barbecue. He's been around for 13 years, tons of TV appearances, competition circuit, underground scene, doing pop-ups recently, and underground because of COVID. Couldn't be more happy for him. The city of Seguin has embraced him. They're open Thursday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to sold out on Sundays. They have a Mexican breakfast, so they're open at 8 a.m. He talks about a Friday night steakhouse thing he's going to be doing. He's also going to be doing these monthly dinners once the pandemic kind of eases. He's going to be doing these monthly dinners that are exclusive. It's just rad. It's really cool. He has these two mill scale pits, 1,000 each, with 23-foot-long stacks. He's got a couple more pits coming, so that's when the steak stuff's coming. But it's definitely going to be a place that you're going to want to visit, a destination spot. Because he's a trained chef, he has lots of interesting specials. I'm just super excited for him, and I'm glad he took some time to explain what's going on. Make sure you go check out the Burt Bean Company in Seguin, Texas. Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. They're based out of Dripping Springs, Texas. They're treatyoakdistilling.com. It's also brought to you by Centex Smokers out of Luling, Texas. That's CENTEX_smokers on Instagram. Give them a follow, give them a DM, get a quote. They're at 4 to 5 months right now. Michael Johnson making these great pits. Great lead time, great pricing. Check them out for sure, Centex Smokers. If you're digging these, please subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. Don't want to miss out. Put lots of these. Trying to cover the entire barbecue world, all different facets. At the end, stay safe. Hope you enjoy this.
He painted that. His name is Buddy Pajek. We call him Buddy Paycheck because every time he comes in here, he charges me a lot to paint.
That's awesome. I love when people have nicknames like that. It actually sounds, that sounds like something that would be like either part of a cartel or like an Italian mob's family in New Jersey.
Like if your name was Benny from the Bronx or something like that, but his name is Buddy.
That's awesome. Let's start. Like, how are you doing today? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. We got briskets down. We don't open till tomorrow, so we got briskets going right now. We got about 100 pounds of sausage going, getting everything prepped up for tomorrow, and starting Thursday, we don't stop till Sunday. So a lot of people are like, oh, you're only open for 4 days, but technically no, we're here every day because, we make our own sausage and, it's a 3-day process, prepping, the day before, you have to throw the briskets down the day before. So we really don't have a day off. What we do is on Mondays, we kind of sleep in and then we come in about 10 and then we work till about 6 o'clock at night and, and then that's it. But,
I think that's important to say, because I think that people do think if you're open, say Wednesday or you're Thursday through Sunday, 4 days. So you got a great life. You're just rolling 3 days.
They're like, oh man, you got 3 days off, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, dude, trust me. My partner and I have not had a day off in forever.
And you probably haven't had a lot of days off in general, because you're a workaholic. You've always been dedicated. Well, what does it feel to have your did it open November or was it or December?
Well, if you want to get technical, it was like October. The last week in October. We've been running 100 miles per hour since October. It's just gotten bigger and bigger, and we've been very blessed. We were trying to crank out some of the best cuisine you can get, as well as making sure it's consistent. I think that's the key to everything in life is consistency. Yeah, you know, people eat your barbecue and then they come back a week later thinking of that one rib or that one slice of brisket, and they want to eat it again and to nail it again. That's what brings people into the door.
And that's what the hardest thing is to do, is to keep it consistent. Stay dialed in. Now, but this is something you've wanted for a long time. How does it feel now looking back, like, to the process? How long did it take you? How long was it building?
Well, I guess you could say it was 13 years in the making. I was telling people, here's the situation. I'm a chef.
Yeah.
I've been in the restaurant business since I was a little kid because my grandma had a restaurant. So I know the ins and outs of what makes a successful restaurant, as well as what closes restaurants very quickly. Mm-hmm. So, I've opened and closed a lot of restaurants as a chef, but my dream was always to open my own barbecue joint. But the problem is one is that you have no capital. Mm-hmm. Two, you have no name. And three, is your barbecue that good? Yeah. So I had a coming to Jesus meeting with myself and I said, Ernest, can you open a restaurant right now and you'd be successful? And the reality was no. That was 13 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, okay. then what way would it be better and feasible and realistically to do it? And I said, well, let's go through the competition world. Because one, I can practice and hone into my skills. Two, it's cheaper. And three, I can market my name and people would understand. So if I became successful competition cooker, that when I opened up my restaurant, I already had the name out there, like the Burnt Bean. People wouldn't know who they are. Mm-hmm. So when we did that, you know, we were very successful in the competition world. And, you know, me being on television shows and everything else really, you know, put a catalyst in my name. So my brand was already out there. So whenever I announced that I was going to open up, you know, pop-ups, you know, people, one, were just curious to see how my barbecue is.
Yeah, for sure.
TV. But yet then they saw the consistency and how good it was. So that made it a lot easier. It's a lot harder to open a lot of barbecue joints with what you can afford with and not having a name. And people won't know you for years.
Well, yeah, you see all the guys that do that. And I talked to a lot of those guys and you're friends with a lot of those guys and they just,
yeah.
And it works, but it, like you said, it takes a lot of time and you have to be dedicated. You've been in this world then for a long time and you've seen what's worked and what hasn't worked too.
Right. Yeah. And then right when we opened up our pop-ups, that was a year and a half ago, we were cruising and we were getting a cult following and then COVID happened. So it's like, shit. So we stopped and we literally stopped. And it tracks, and we had so much momentum going. And by then, you know, we were starting to get everything ready for the restaurant. So I was, you know, feeling sorry for myself. And my wife's like, why don't you do what your boys over there in California do and do those undergrounds like Bert and, you know, Andrew and all them. Yeah. So
exactly.
I said, yeah. So I started putting it out there, undergrounds. And man, I think we were more successful at our undergrounds than we were at our pop-ups.
How funny is that?
We were selling food to the point where I had to get more barbecue pits at Barlam. So we were very, 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 very lucky. So when we, I think when the governor announced that you can start, you know, selling again, we said, all right, let's do it. And we opened and, you know, the rest is history, man. We just really, you know, got a following and now our block, you know, our lines are two blocks long and, you know,
if people are just tuning in and they don't see the title of this, it's in Seguin, right?
Right. It's in Seguin, Texas.
What's Seguin like?
Seguin, I've worked here for 15 years. It's, I love Seguin because it really brings a lot of memories of my hometown. It's a small town. It's a big industrial town. I'm from a big ranching and farming community. This one's more of industrial. It's got a lot of big industrial places like Ziploc, Niagara Waters, Continental Tires, Motorola. It's got the largest steelmaker factories in America.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we have Caterpillar, you know, the guys that build your tractors. So there's a lot of big industrial here. So it's a big industrial town. But yeah, I love it once again. And, you know, me being here for 15 years, I think that's helped out a lot is that, you know, I'm from New Braunfels and I was going to open up over there and Seguin's like not having it. They're like, you're ours and we're going to support you. And they've come and got my back and they supported me ever since I opened. So I've been very blessed.
What was your location before? What was that place? And when did you find it?
Well, the location before is pretty much the same building. So, the difference is that the bar that was here closed down and we had the opportunity to take over. And
so it was a bar? Over.
Yeah.
With a kitchen maybe or
no?
Or?
No, it was very, you know, we kind of tweaked it here and there. Yeah. It had a little grill area, you know, where eventually, we kind of not necessarily gutted it out. We just redesigned it, you know, redesigned it to what we wanted. We had this feel, you know, and then we start bringing in all the stuff we needed, the equipment and, you know, working with the city and everything. So, now it's a cool barbecue joint and it's hip, but yet, you know, it kind of has that whole industrial look. And then it really matches my pits outside. You know, we got two mill scales outside.
Cranking. Those mill scales are gorgeous with those stacks too. I'm sure the stacks are something people think. How tall are those stacks?
Well, I think there are 20. Well, from the hinge up, it's 18, but in total, I think it's 23 feet.
Okay.
So 23 feet of mill scale power.
Are those the tallest stacks that they've done?
I don't know, but everything's big in Texas, right?
But what was what kind of pit did you have when you'd be cooking? Because you'd be cooking at night, right? Weren't you posting a lot of stuff like over the years?
Yeah, I've had so many pits. I've had over 30 pits, but the one that when we started our pop-ups, it was a 500 gallon East Texas smoker. And that's what kind of our claim to fame, you know, it was Leonard's pit from Truth.
Oh,
that's
cool. That's interesting. Let's talk about the menu because I definitely don't want to miss it. And I've noticed too, like one of your photos from a while back, it stuck in my mind were the carrots. Those carrots looked not that like this is a barbecue thing, but people like food, right. and the tortillas look rad. Like they're so okay. Let's talk about the menu, and then you have.
So, I don't want to. You know, there's so many great barbecue joints, and I always thought to myself, if I ever opened up my place, I want to keep it simple. Mm-hmm. You know, do the classics. I want to stick to my roots of Texas barbecue, which is you know the Trinity, which is you know sausage, rib, and brisket, mm-hmm. and then we do turkey. And on the weekends, we have, you know, like big beef, spare ribs and stuff like that. But at the same time, I wanted to do something different. And so Sundays, we do a Mexican themed breakfast. And we do smoked barbacoa, which is tatema. We do mollejas and we do tripas and menudo. So and then on top of that, everything else. So that's what we do. But, you know, me being my culinary background, I love to throw specials. And, you know, I find whatever's in season, whatever's, you know, available, and I make specials. And so that's what kind of sets us apart as well is that, you know, we have our standard menu, but when you come in here, there's always a surprise. You know, like those baby carrots that you saw there, yeah. You know, that were queso fresco. You know, we smoked them, and then we, you know, made a beef tallow butter. Oh, yeah. And then paired it with toasted pepitas, which is pumpkin seeds. And, you know, or, you know, last week what we did was the huevo rancheros. I don't know if you saw that.
Uh-huh.
We'll do chilaquiles. And those are just
chilaquiles. I was going to mention that because that's one of my favorite things too.
So we're doing a lot of fun stuff, but at the same time, keep it to basic stuff. But we always throw really, I always call it fine dining cuisine, but on a certain day. So, you know, that's just the chef in me. I like to throw crazy stuff out there.
And right now, is that like down the road? Because right now you're open the kind of like a standard place, like till you sell out, right? But are you eventually going to do like a dinner thing at all, or is that?
Yeah, we're gonna hopefully we're waiting on our pits. We got two pits being built right now. One's a box, and the other one's gonna be in a grill.
Wow.
Fridays we're gonna do a you know the town you know kind of expresses what they want because we don't have a steakhouse here in town. Mm-hmm. And I really don't think the town can afford, or there's not a restaurant that can afford to have a steakhouse open every day. Mm-hmm. So we thought to ourselves, hey, why don't we have our own built-in steakhouse here? Where we do, you know, we're going to keep it simple. We're going to do T-bones and ribeyes and baked potato and mashed potatoes. And you know, on a Friday night, you know, they're mesquite grilled outside, you know, on coals. It's not on gas or anything inside. So we're going to change this into a, you know, I've seen a lot of the barbecue guys are selling like fajitas or burgers mm-hmm. on Friday nights or hot dogs. We're going to do steaks.
Nice. And that's cool. That's a good one.
Yeah. So, and the community's excited because they actually can go to a steakhouse. And they don't have to travel to San Antonio or Austin to have a great steak.
Yeah. That's nice for people to have because like there's, and you know, what's funny is across the United States, there's lots of small towns that don't have steakhouses. And like you said, it probably doesn't warrant for every day to be open. So it right. makes sense to have that option at your place. Well, like, so then will Friday nights and Saturday nights probably be like your nights that you'll be open down the road? Like, will you be open on a Thursday night?
No, we'll be open on Friday nights. And okay. then we're going to try to do a monthly dinner. Once this COVID's over, we're going to do a monthly dinner party. Every Sunday night, we're going to do something really cool. You know, it's going to be kind of one of those, if there's going to be 50 seats and it's a couple thing, you know, and, you know, once you're in this dinner club, you know, it's going to be hard to get out. But I'm going to have – that's where I'm going to come and get collaborations with, you know, other barbecue guys. You know, with Miguel or, you know, JQ Tacos or, you know, whoever wants to come and collaborate with me.
That's
we'll
fun.
Do some pretty fun stuff that people pay $100 a person. And, you know, it's exclusive. You know, it's the coolest thing. And, you know, you should see our backyard. We got a really cool place. And then we can make it out there. And it's like once a month we do these collaborations. And it's going to be the how do I get in there?
Oh, that's cool. That's so, yeah. How are you going to make it like available online, or are you going to make it like
it's an exclusive underground thing. You get a ticket. It's like literally, if you and your wife get a ticket, it's yours until you get up.
Gotcha.
If you pass that next month, then someone else gets a ticket. It's theirs forever. So it's one of those type of things. It's an exclusive club. You know, you pay $100 a person, and it's we'll bring in different wine people. We'll be bringing different things like that. So,
yeah, beer companies. You can bring in whiskey. That's
right.
a really
exactly.
cool idea. Yeah, lots of exactly. partnerships, but it also highlights the Texas companies or places that match what you're doing. That's a wow. When COVID hit and you had this place, were you worried? Like, what's your occupancy right now? 50% or?
Yeah, we only serving. Well, outside we have about enough people to serve about 100 people.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
Inside we only have 50 seats right now. So, but what's happening a lot is even though it's really cool inside, it's not as packed as I thought. But we're really busy. But everybody takes it to go.
Okay.
And then outside, a lot more people are outside because you know it's outside seating, so it gets more packed outside, which is fine.
So to go is an option for you if people are.
Yeah.
But they still have to. They can't order online. They have to wait in. Right. They have to queue up in line. And it's about right. What are you saying? It's about like an hour wait right now for some people. Is it?
Yeah, some people about an hour wait. They were saying,
yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad at all.
No, that's not bad. And not only that, I have a team that we've been practicing so much that we're cranking them out.
Are you open at 11?
Yeah, on Sundays at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, 8 o'clock till like five.
Sell out. Yeah, about 3 o'clock.
Have you been selling out around 3?
Yeah. Well, Saturdays it's a little bit different. You know, we have the pits loaded. And we'll sell about 2.
Okay.
And it's we got a lot of food, and it's like sometimes me and my partner were like, damn, I think we made too much food, and then, you know, 1:30 hits, and we're like, damn, we didn't make enough food, you know, those type of things. So.
And you have 2,000 gallons, right?
Yeah, and we bought them, and the reason I bought them is MillScale has such a long wait. We're like, screw it. Well, even if we just use one for right now, we already have the other one ready to go. So I didn't want to wait just in case. So we bought 2, and actually they're running right now as we speak, both on, and they don't stop. They start on Wednesday morning. They don't stop till Sunday, and they're loaded every day.
Wow. And I'll show pictures of that in the intro of this. So for people that might not know, because I know the story, for Burt Bean Company, how did that come about?
Long story short, it started off with my neighbor saying, you know, dude, you got some of the best barbecue I ever had. And we were just, you know, whatever. He's like, I'm going to put you in a competition. And I was like, all right, you know, our first competition in, we get first place. And the rest was history. So, yeah. And then, you know, that's how we got our name too, is that I was an executive chef at a restaurant, and one of my lady workers, she was from Mexico. And she's like, you know, asking me in Spanish, you know, what are you going to be doing? I said, well, we're going to cook brisket, ribs, chicken, and beans. And she goes, you know, hey, in Spanish, vas a quemar los frijoles, which meant you're going to burn the beans. She goes, you don't even know how to cook beans. And I thought, oh, that's kind of a cool name. And I thought we were going to be called Frijoles Quemados, which is burnt beans. But I knew they were going to butcher that name if they didn't know how to speak Spanish. So we put the Burnt Bean Company instead, and the rest is.
Yeah, it's a really cool name. And it is something that probably people have no idea how you came up with that. And how it associates with, but it does make sense, and it's really catchy. But also too, did someone call you the Pope of Barbecue, or is that something that you?
Yeah, coined? Well, that's the same lady. She used to call me that. She used to call me El Papa the Barbecue, because I used to just always bless her like that. She goes, "Who do you think you are, the Pope of Barbecue?" I'm like, "Oh, I like that."
That's
smart. So ever since then, it's stuck, and I've been called other names too, but I like that name. And she, ever since then, they call me the Pope, man.
Wow, I've always loved that was. And I always wondered. And I've never asked you. I was gonna even DM you a long, long time ago. But that's so. The competition circuit. How did you enjoy that time? And did you got like when you were on like a vert? Was it? It was like Pit Matt was John Marcus. Was that? Was he the producer of that show? It was Pit Wars, right?
Yeah, I think John Marcus was the first one.
Okay, that was
and then after that. Yeah, the first Pitmaster, but when we got to the Pitmaster All-Stars, I think he already sold the name
okay. And
everything. But yeah, the first one I met him, and that was when Aaron Franklin was our judge and I think Tuffy.
Right, yeah. What was that experience like? I was curious as to, because I just recently talked to Harry Sue, who won the very first one.
Yeah, it was okay, because when I was on Pitmasters, I just got off of winning Chopped Grill Masters.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I won that one, and it was really cool. And that what happened was Pitmasters was filming in Dallas, but they were doing a Texas restaurant edition. They were wanting restaurants. So, well, I'm a competition cook. Well, I guess the guy who – one of the competitors called out, like, literally the week of filming. And they're like, who do we have that's nearby? And they're like, hey, Ernest is nearby. And they asked me. I'm like – all right, I'll do it. And of course, who wouldn't want to do Pitmasters?
Yeah.
We watched that show. So, we did it. I went over there. And then when we started cooking and, you know, we prepped and injected, they told us it's all about restaurant style barbecue. And I told my wife, I was like, yeah, we're done. And she goes, what do you mean we're done? I'm like, I said, we do competition. They're not going to want injections and all this stuff. And even though our food blew theirs out of the water, it wasn't traditional Texas barbecue. So that's why we came in second. But we knew we won, but it wasn't, you know, barbecue joints don't inject, you know.
Yeah.
And the way we presented it with burnt ends and all that stuff. So we knew we lost, but it was a lot of fun and a great experience too.
Yeah, it's definitely it's such a unique period in the barbecue world, because those shows paved the way for so many people, but a lot of people too.
So many people.
Like nowadays might not even know.
Think about it. It was about the last thing they filmed was about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And you know they got the new one called, like, what is it, Barbecue Brawl, and
yeah, they,
old Bobby Flay, and then that one that was on Netflix. I forgot which that was called too. I don't think it ever got a cult following like when, you know, Pitmasters 1 through 5 was just unreal. People, I think it had every barbecue in America glued. And I was one of them.
Yeah.
So, you're
part of that history.
Yeah. So it was really cool. And then to be asked to be on the show, and it was like really, you know, to have that on my belt was really cool. But I'll tell you one thing that the competition world has really brought me to is I met so many great people, and including yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I've never met, you know, I used to be in different types of things like bowling and stuff like that, but barbecue people are one of a kind.
Yeah.
And we get together, and, you know, when people get sick or something happens tragic, or their building burns down or something, mm-hmm. we all get together and just, you know, help each other out. And that's you will never find that. I don't know. I could be wrong, but the camaraderie in barbecue is unreal.
Mm-hmm. Barbecue heals. Barbecue is about love. It's in family and friendship. It's really unique. And a lot of people that I am friends with that aren't in this world, like, don't know why I'm so attached to it and why it's so important to me. It's like, why are you so into barbecue? I'm like, it's not just the food. It's the people. That's what it's about. It's the food's great, really great, but it's the camaraderie and it's the experience too. And like, look, your location, look how rad that look, like going, you're now you're going to become a destination. That's how cool is that? That's really cool. And I'm really proud of you. And I was excited about your place. And then once I started to see the food, and I'll show photos of the food in the intro, you're dialed in. Like, it looks, and you're not probably even close in your mind to where you want to be. You'll be a year from now. Imagine how. And do you make scratch made tortillas, or are you getting your tortillas from?
Okay. No, we make, well, now we see, when I used to do my undergrounds, I literally would make the tortillas in front of you on a flat top. I would make my corn, and I would make my homemade flour. We'd have the balls right there, and, you know, we press out so you can have fresh stuff. Well, now we're selling 600 tortillas on Sunday alone. So it's like I got a lady making them for me now. You know what I mean?
No, that's
so, you know, we've just grown so much. But a lot of people are like, you know, you're so, like you said, dialed in where you should be for just being open for so much. But you got to realize one thing. I've been waiting all my life for this opportunity.
True.
And I'm, you know, I was ready. So when we opened the doors, we, you know, like you said, we're running about 60%. I haven't even hit, you know, fifth gear yet, but where we're at, we're pretty solid, but we're going to get better.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not competing against anybody else. We're not trying to aim for any kind of titles or things. I want to fulfill a dream, and I want to have something that Seguin, Texas is proud of. Yeah. And, you know, and that's what I'm here for. I, you know, all the other accolades and things like that, that's just the icing, you know, or the cherry on top. But everything else I've done here, I've done it for the community. I've done it for myself and to represent and to create a legacy for my kids.
Yeah, legacy. I'm saying that. Yeah. You want to be able to, I want to talk to you 5 years from now, and, well, hopefully it'll be a burst of that.
Right.
Not in this weird batch thing that I'm doing, but at least it's really cool. And I want to talk, like, I want to end it too on Brisket Cartel. A lot of people have seen the brisket hats and the, yeah, like that, like the one you're wearing. What's the deal with that? I know what it is, but what is the deal?
You know, the cartel was something that me and Hondo came up with.
He's California, right? Isn't he in
California?
Yeah.
And it was one of those type of things that we wanted to make a group of guys that are the baddest dudes of America and around the world that are the best in brisket. Not ribs, not chicken, not pork butt, not whole shoulder, whole hog. Brisket. And some of the criteria is one of them was your brisket had to be like crazy good.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you had to be self-made. And what we meant by self-made was you didn't have, you know, you didn't come around from another, you know, your father created the, you know, the barbecue joint, you know, it was just you. So we started and we have, you know, we're very small. We only have about 15 or 16 around the world. Mm-hmm. And, but the guys that are on the cartel are some of the best.
Yeah, definitely.
And,
yeah.
We, you know, and it's really cool, and they represent us as well. But what's funny is that, you know, me be part of the, or the capo of the cartel, which is, you know, one of the main godfathers, I was thinking to myself, you know, I was very comfortable in my barbecue, brisket, and competition. I'm like, wait, I'm now in the restaurant industry. I said, my goddamn brisket better be some of the best. And, you know, it got to the point where I, you know, had a bunch of barbecue guys. I said, that'd be kind of sad if, you know, the guy throw out good brisket. So that was the one thing I made. But, yeah, you know, we have, you know, Durney over there in New York. We got, you know, Moosecraft, and we got Bert over there in California. We also got Heritage Barbecue. We got Leonard on our team from Truth. We have 2M Smokehouse, Isaul. You know, we got so many cool cats that are, and then not counting all the competition guys as well.
Yeah.
But we got some BMFs, and we're always, it was kind of funny because, we laugh it out because I don't know if you ever saw, Barbecue, Grill Masters that Leonard was on and he's mm-hmm. what was on.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Texas edition. It's funny because, it was like, the lady's like, so do y'all know each other? And we're like, no, I kind of know of them because think about it. I'm the judge, which I'm on the main Brisket Cartel, and the two guys that end up in the finals are Brisket Cartel. Yeah,
exactly.
Too. Coincidence? I don't know.
Maybe not.
But, you know, it was kind of cool to have, you know, three of the Barbecue Cartel, the Brisket Cartel on the you know.
That was huge. No,
last year. So yeah. It was kind of cool.
And it's also three great guys, but it would be fun to have a night at your restaurant with all those guys too. That would be
that would be the ultimate thing. And, you know, maybe after this COVID, we could talk.
Yeah,
you know,
like in the fall.
Yeah, you know, that'd be kind of cool to have everybody here and have a little party. Yeah. Kind of like maybe Lerma can, because Lerma's easy in the cartel too. Have Lerma come out here and throw the party. You know.
Yeah, he's pretty good at throwing parties. Yeah. He's like the master at that. Well, I'm so proud of you. Let's talk. Let's say again, what are the best ways to get a hold of you, and what are the hours?
The hours are Thursday through Sunday from 11 to 3 or to sell out. We're out here in Seguin, Texas at 108 South Austin Street. And then you can get a hold of me on the Instagram at the Popa Barbecue or on the Burnt Bean on Facebook.
And then for the website, it goes to Facebook, right? And then you have the menu. You have menus on.
Yeah, they're on the menus on there. Yeah, they're on there. Yeah, and it's Simple Barbecue, and we sell by the pound. And that's pretty much it, man.
For the specials, you have to come to get to find out. You don't post them.
I'll post them. I'll post them like the day of, but usually the specials, you have to come here. That's the only reason I put them on there, so you can come.
Well, you should come anyways. Like, it's not like it's you don't need to, like, you should get your face out of the phone and go and eat good barbecue. And so again, I'm proud of you. That's Ernest. This is so great. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.